White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 447.
White Rocket Entertainment.
You're listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the White Rocket Entertainment Network.
Bye bye, Bo! Touchdown, Auburn!
The kick!
And welcome to the AU Wishbone, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment in association with the WarEagleReader.com and by people like you, the Auburn family, the AU Wishbone family, our very own Patreon.com family. We know you, we love you. We couldn't live without you, and so we're back. I'm Van Allen Plexico. I've had the flu and pneumonia for the last 2 weeks, which has kind of kept me on the sideline a little bit. I haven't done a podcast in a while. But we just felt like we were gone too long, and so we are back, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host, who does not have pneumonia or the flu, as far as I know.
I'm John Ringer.
How are you feeling, John?
I'm feeling fine.
Good.
I'm glad you're on the mend.
I'll mail you a pneumonia and flu blanket that you can wrap up in, and then we'll see what happens in a couple of days.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, sure. So, yeah, I was just saying that I'll be doing this a good bit during the show. I'll try to hit the button when I can. Sorry about that. But, yeah, my family's had various ailments running around while we were here in the freezing cold the last couple of weeks. So hopefully we'll all get over it the next few days. But we wanted to just do a quick short show, just a kind of catch-up show, kind of, you know, stuff that's been going on since the last time we were on. It's been a while because I guess we did our post-bowl game show, and then you did the you did a solo show where you presented the David Howell interview you did back in November. And then, and that's really all we've been able to do. I haven't even been able to record, Alan and I haven't even been able to record a James Bond show. So without further ado, let's get on into it and let's get through some stuff with alacrity tonight. What are you thinking about the football off season and the basketball on season so far?
I think it's going pretty well. I mean, I think this stuff's been happening. You know, coaching changes, basketball ups and downs, and
recruiting.
Recruiting. So I mean, it hasn't been one of those off seasons where you kind of dread looking at the morning paper. But I do think there's been a good bit of stuff happening, enough to kind of make you continually pay attention.
Absolutely. Well, let's look at a few of those things. Basketball first up, because this is basketball season, and we certainly have a program now worth paying attention to. I watched the Ole Miss game. I tell you right
here
now.
Comes.
Well, my wife went to bed when it was – she hung around for a while, but it was getting pretty late, and she was feeling sick, and, of course, she's missed work today because she is sick. But she hung around for a while, but she finally went to bed, and she said it's not as much fun when I feel like we're not going to win. I'm like, yeah, welcome to Auburn, Auburn family. But I said that's what this team does. Now, I thought they might have dug themselves a hole so deep even they couldn't get themselves out of it, and they almost took two overtimes. But I felt like, you know, they had the potential, the capacity, if they could just start making shots. I mean, that's been our refrain all season. If they can just make shots, you know. I mean, they have other issues too. They turn the ball over too much and way too much in some games. And obviously, Javon has issues at point guard that didn't manifest so much at the end of last season, but are certainly making themselves known now, which pretty much leaves us with nothing but Doughty as our point guard, which is not the situation you want to be in. And we're more of an inside team than an outside team, which is not really how Bruce even likes to coach. And so we really just have a number of frustrations with this team that we didn't necessarily see coming. And what the ultimate kind of answer of that is that we're not a great offensive team. We're a team that has the capacity to have an inside game and occasionally can get a little streaky outside, but not much, has struggles at the free throw line. When your center is your best free throw shooter, you know you're in trouble. And You know, and so that kind of leaves us having to play great defense and turn the ball over on the defense and on defensive side and not turn the ball over ourselves. So when we run into trouble, it's when we can't score and we do turn our own, you know, the ball over ourselves. Because at that point, the only thing we have left to rely on is our defense. And when our defense isn't working, you get down 21-2, which is basically what happened last night. So everything that could go wrong did. And so, you know, we're a team that has to have X, Y, and Z all happen properly, or we're not a great team. We're still a collection of really good players that's not a great team. Would you concur with that?
I think they're getting there. I think defensively it is a really excellent team.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I agree.
I think the defense keeps them in games and allows them to come back. Mm-hmm. And defense is about, you know, I mean, there's coaching and scheme. A lot of it is about effort. And they play really, really, really hard on defense. Mm-hmm. And they're, you could, it's they, to the point where when they don't, it is really obvious. And you know it's coming, the Pearl's going to fuss at them when you see it. So, but I think, you know, they don't get down. They keep attacking. They keep coming. And it worked last night. And I'm open to ridicule and shaming because I turned it off at halftime and went to read a book and then went to sleep because it's, again, it was a 9 p.m. Eastern time tip off.
Yeah.
And I got up and went to work this morning. So, you know, we were down. It was a tough first half to watch think like, okay, the game's going to end a little after 11 and then I'm going to be so keyed up. It's going to take me a long time to go to sleep. Is this worth it right now, the way I'm feeling watching this first half? And the answer was no. So I deserve all the ridicule I get for that.
I don't know. I was teasing, but I totally get it. I don't blame you a bit. If I hadn't been like wide awake, I'd have gone a bit too. You make a good point about the defense in this way here. It was like 20-2, but the only reason it was 20-2 is we were playing really good defense. If we played mediocre defense last night, it would have been 40-2 in the first half, and there's no way we could have come back. So, it's again, that's been kind of our MO all season is they'll have no offense at all to start the game, but they'll play enough defense that the score is, you know, like 25-12 rather than 45-12. It's like they play enough defense that they don't need as much offense as normal because the other team hasn't gotten, the opponent hasn't gotten as far ahead as they should. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And the other thing is I think that Auburn has a very distinct home court advantage now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just that the fans are really good and the arena is really good, just really good energy and all that stuff there for home games now, but it's that the players are very comfortable there offensively. Mm-hmm. From, you know, the starters to the backups. And I think they simply perform better offensively at home. And that's not an uncommon thing in basketball. And I think this team in particular struggles to shoot the ball on the road. And I think the splits that way are pretty dramatic and probably not going to change. And I think part of it is like the home court advantage is so good that it actually makes their offense, you know, better than it really is a little bit. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I'm going to say they're not that good at home offensively unless they're playing somebody that – well, I mean, you got to give the defense, the team they play, some credit, I think, because Alabama played them really well defensively. Florida played them really well defensively. It wasn't just that we couldn't shoot, although, honestly, in a lot of those cases – and Ole Miss in the first half played excellent defense on us. But – you know, the difference was last night in the Ole Miss game, Ole Miss was playing really good defense and we were missing shots or not getting shots off or not able to create a shot at all. And that's on Ole Miss playing really good defense against like either Alabama or Florida. The Alabama Florida game to me just kind of runs together as one big horrible nightmare of a game, right? But one of those two games is the one where it wasn't just that they were playing good defense. We were getting shots. It's just everything we shot rimmed out or bounced out, you know? It's like you got to give some credit to the defense that's being played against us, but some of it is we just get snake bit on offense.
That's what I'm saying. Sometimes there are shots that are shots that you're like, yes, I'm good with the person taking the shot, and it just didn't go in.
Just doesn't go, yeah.
Yeah. So,
and that's a lot of Purifoy shots, it seems like, especially his three-pointers. And he just loves to jack up that side, you know, side angle three. And when it goes, it's great. But, man, he rims it out and misses entirely and air balls and just – it clunks it off the rim, you know. It's just we got so spoiled. We talked about this before. We got so spoiled last year by having a team that could score when it needed to that I think we take for granted, you know, that. And this team has a lot of players that were backups last year and some freshmen. And as good as they are, they just can't create offense. I mean, the one thing that they have that should be able to create instant offense is going inside to Wiley. Because when Wiley has both hands on the ball and is close to the rim, he's about as sure a thing, unstoppable, as you're going to get. The problem is, probably 3 out of every 5 times when the ball goes into him, he doesn't catch it. He can't keep it in his hands. It gets taken away. You know, he struggles. If we could get it, I don't think that Wiley's problem is scoring. His problem is securing the ball to put himself in scoring position. You know, in other words, his problem isn't coming home from third base. His problem's getting on first base.
Yes.
So
no, it's a recurring issue. It's not going away. So.
Yeah. Well, and I thought Jay Tate made a good point in his show a day or two ago, too. He said, Austin Wiley is an aberration for a Bruce Pearl team. He's on the team because he's on the team because he's Austin Wiley. Once he's gone, and that's not to say we want him to go. I'd love to have him forever. He does certain things great, like rebound and all that. But once he's gone, we're not going to have another player like that on a Bruce Pearl team, probably.
No.
It's just not his style. It's not what he does. So
no, it's wants it more open, more movement.
Yeah.
You know, more guys that can cut through the lane, drive to the basket and stuff. And when you're doing a lot of post up stuff, it clogs that up.
But because we don't have enough people that can do that right now or are doing it consistently, we need somebody like Wiley just as a change of pace to give us some other kind of way of scoring.
Well, and it's consistent. Mm-hmm. Scoring, it's you know what I'm saying, it's mm-hmm. a higher percentage attempt, you know, getting the ball to him than a lot of the other things that we do.
Yeah, last year the other than Bryce's threes, last year the court of last resort, so to speak, was Jared just taking it to the rim. Mm-hmm. And this year that same thing seems to be Samir taking it. He doesn't exactly get to the rim the way Jared Harper did. But he can attack the rim and at least create or at least draw a foul. Mm-hmm. And that he's just not nearly as consistent with that as Jared Harper was. He's just not. I mean, he's great. He has his things. And he's also having to be both a point guard and one of the shooting guards. And it's just they're asking a lot of him, I think. So
And he plays good defense on the other teams.
Yes.
Yeah, good perimeter players. So.
Yeah. So, well, anyway, so we got a big game coming up against Kentucky on Saturday, and people seem to like our matchup. I mean, I know that Kentucky is Kentucky, but it's in Auburn, and every analysis I've heard seems to say that they are really good, but we match up well enough that we should be competitive with them. Is that how you see it?
Yes. And especially at home, I mean, they're a really good team, and they turn the roster over and add a bunch of new guys every year who are going to play in the NBA soon. So, I think they're not the team they're going to be in 2 months. You know, I think they're one of these teams that's going to get better and better and better. But I think it is a good matchup for Auburn, and I, especially at home, I wouldn't want to go play them in Rupp Arena. But
well, and also we might see them again. I guess do we play them in Kentucky? But we may end up playing them.
Play them both. Ways.
Yeah, we kind of got lucky in a way last year that we knew we matched up against Tennessee well in the tournament last year. We ended up missing Kentucky and getting Tennessee, so that kind of fell in our favor. But but we've actually played pretty evenly against Kentucky at home over the last several years, and so that I feel pretty good about that. And the other thing is I was actually, it's just totally random that we played on a Tuesday instead of a Wednesday this week. But knowing what we know now, that it was a 2 overtime game that went till 11 o'clock Central, almost midnight your time, Aren't you glad it was Tuesday and not Wednesday if you got Kentucky coming in on Saturday?
That's true. Very true. We do play at Rupp Arena at the end of February. Ole Miss has our number, and that was a one of those kind of things, but we battled back and won, and now we got Kentucky. It's a big game at home. After that we go at Arkansas, home LSU, who's really good, and then home Alabama. Ugh. So this is some big games coming up.
I was shocked to learn over the last couple of months our record the last few years against Ole Miss and Mississippi State is horrible.
Ole Miss, I don't know what it is there. Mm. They owned us in basketball. It is bizarre.
It is bizarre. It's one of those things. So, all right. Well, in other news, football, we got a new offensive line coach. I mean, surely that's going to make folks happy we've had the discussion many times. Was the problem Grimes the first time? Was the problem Hand? Or was the problem Grimes the second time? And I guess all that's out the window now because we've got Jack Bicknell.
Yes. Grimes departed, and Jack Bicknell is the new offensive line coach. It's interesting. They picked somebody that wasn't, in the a Gus guy.
Mm-hmm.
But a veteran coach who's been around, who's been in the NFL a while and has been a college head coach and a college offensive line coach and has a lot of experience with that stuff. So I think especially, the coaching offensive line in the NFL thing really, I think that sells. I think he knows this is what you got to do to be able to play in the NFL.
That's always a good thing to be able to throw out there on the table when you visit a recruit is I coached in the NFL and I can get you there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think, we need, I think things the last couple of years weren't great with the offensive line. I think a lot of it had to do with, kind of the depth and the talent, the recruiting that happened at the end of the Herb Hand era, and we've talked about that plenty. And so I think, but I like the Bicknell coming in now. It's a new situation, a new cast of, there's a lot of players coming in and a lot of players in the current roster. And I think he's going to get to, sort through them and give them all chances to see what they can do and then put a line together. So I feel pretty good about it. I think, we saw last year there were times when the offensive line was good, but we never got, real strong push running the ball. And, the quarterback was never super comfortable, even when maybe we should have been. So I think there's definitely room for improvement there, and I like changing it up to get somebody different to come in there and see what they can do.
I just checked because I knew that his name sounded familiar. He's Junior. His dad, Jack Bicknell. I knew that name. You will appreciate this, John. Do you know where he was head coach from about 1991 to 2007?
The older one?
Yes.
No.
The World League of American Football, the WLAF. Okay. He was the head coach of the famous Barcelona Dragons. Yes.
There you go. He wasn't the Ryan Fire coach.
No. He also was at Scottish Claymores and Hamburg Sea Devils, who I'd never even heard of for a while. But I was always a big Barcelona Dragons. That was a team that wore green with the sort of Salvador Dali dragon on the helmet. I was a big World League guy. And the Birmingham Fire, later the Rhine Fire, as you noted. But yeah, he was the Barcelona Dragons. I knew I had seen him before, and that's where. So his son, that's pretty cool.
That's cool.
In other news, Kevin Steele got a big pay raise, is now what, the highest paid assistant coach in the country?
He is. I don't think it's a coincidence that a couple of big programs were without defensive coordinators when this happened.
Yeah. That didn't hurt
LSU. LSU was looking for a defensive coordinator, and I think Texas had just hired one, but they had been with that one for a while. So I think I'm not saying that they offered him their job or anything, but I'm also saying it's not a coincidence either.
Yeah. I mean, and if there's one, if there's one person on that coaching staff that the Auburn family in general would be most anxious to keep in place for a bit longer, it's Kevin Steele, right? I mean,
that's right.
He's the least controversial. And who would have thought that in 20? It's hard to imagine just in 2016 when we brought him in, we all thought, oh gosh, Gus is an idiot for hiring this Kevin Steele guy. Woe is us, And man, has he, he's been the defensive version of of Ensminger at LSU in a way. You know, a kind of a retread old coach that nobody thought had it in the tank anymore. And he comes out and turns out to be awesome. So good for him. And that's great. It doesn't seem like it was that long ago to me that Steve Spurrier was getting $1 million a year to coach Florida. And that was just like scandalous. And now the Auburn defensive coordinator gets $2.5 million. I got to think that what's his name at Clemson will be getting a raise too, because he's you know, teams
Venables.
Are looking Venables. Yeah, I mean, you got to think that like half the teams in the country are kind of salivating over the chance to give him a try to head coach, don't you think?
I mean, I think he's been offered some jobs, but I think it's one of those things where he's making good money and doesn't want to leave unless he gets the perfect opportunity.
But he's not going to be a Bud Foster, though. He's going to go at some point, I think.
I think so, too.
Yeah. Iggy. Noah Iggy Boggany. He's gone Iggy pro. Iggy Iggy Boggany, Biggity Boggany, Biggity. He's left us, John. He has left us and gone pro. And so we have a more of a gaping vacancy in our defensive secondary than I think we were probably expecting.
Yeah, but I mean, we've passed the deadline for players to declare for the NFL draft. Lots of SEC teams lost many players.
Yeah, that's true. That's fair.
And Auburn lost one player.
Plus our punter.
Two, I'm sorry. Aaron Sipos, which we're going to have look forward to our future episode wither Auburn punting.
Yeah, no kidding. We'll do a special episode just on that. Yeah,
we will. Send in your punting questions now. So, so Igbinogany is a big loss. I mean, because we basically lost, like, you know, both cornerbacks and both safeties, Javaris Davis and the two senior safeties were gone. So it is big, and I think he's a good player. I think he's, you know, a very fast, athletic guy that is going to test well for the NFL and probably be fine there. So it's but I think they suspected this was going to happen. In the recruiting, I think that's why you saw them go out and get a junior college corner, and you put him with the guys that have played the last year or so, and I think we're going to be okay. We have the two young safeties already, and they recruited some guys to come in behind them, so I think we're going to be all right. But it was a big thing. He would have been one of the better corners back in the country, and him leaving does make a difference there.
Yeah, it's too bad, but I'm sure he'll do fine, go off and have a very successful pro career. But it really does leave us with nothing but linebackers, pretty much. You know, I mean, we feel like we're going to have a good team next year. We feel like we're going to have a good defense next year. Unfortunately, it's going to be one with almost an entirely new defense and an entirely new offensive line. So it's one of those things where you just have to have faith that the recruiting has been good, the coaching has been good, and the next man up will step in and carry on. So, but it is kind of makes your heart flutter to think how different our whole lineup on the field is going to be this fall than it was just a few weeks ago. So, we've had a couple of things in recruiting to note. There's one kind of coming up and two that are more done than we might have thought they would be. So let's take them one by one. Jay Hardy, what is the deal there? This is the guy that we thought we were hoping to get, and it turns out we actually had already gotten.
It was weird. He's the defensive lineman, defensive strong side defensive end from
Chattanooga, I
believe. Tennessee. And he, supposedly did not sign in the early signing period, and other schools could then continue to recruit him. Right. But in reality, he did sign in the early signing period.
We just didn't tell anybody.
And he didn't tell anybody because his teammates were signing in the later signing period, and he wanted to sign with them in a signing ceremony that, that his announcement would have more drama then.
And let me just pause you to say, how interesting would it have been if they're all, there's like five of them up there signing, and they're all signing these really nice documents, and then one of them looks over like, Jay, man, I don't mean to be presumptive here, but you're signing like a napkin. No, it's okay, man. Don't worry. No, but really, that aren't you supposed to be signing your scholarship papers? Dude, you're literally signing a Dairy Queen napkin. It's okay. Be quiet.
It is. Well, and the worst thing is, in a technical sense, any school who continued to recruit him after the reassignment period was committing a violation.
Without even knowing it. And it's not their fault. Yes. Yeah, that really, when I heard that, I'm like, oh, this is problematic. Because that point, it goes from the weird oddity to, oh, crap, there could be severe ramifications here.
That's right. That's why I think the SEC and the NCAA is probably going to push some rule through. You're going to see this.
The Jay Hardy rule.
Just say, like, you have to disclose your signees, you know, within 48 hours of them signing or something, so that this doesn't happen again.
And as innocent as it is, the whole shenanigans aspect of it just smells like Nick Saban somehow. I could just see Saban working some sinister plan that involves doing this, you know? I mean, again, I know that when Hardy did it, it was all innocent. He just wanted to sign with his friends, and that's nice, and they were trying to preserve that. That's fine. I just feel like somewhere in there is a sinister plan that Nick Saban would be like, I will do this and get four times as many players. So, I don't know. But we got a JUCO defensive lineman, DeAndre Butler, a couple of days ago.
Yeah, and that was big. I mean, he's a guy that – it's a junior college guy, but he's got 3 years of eligibility left, and he can play, you know, end or tackle. He's like 6'4", 300 pounds. So I think they think he's a guy who can contribute right away next year, which is we need. As you said, we're going to have some vacancies in the defensive line. So I think we have a few guys returning, but I think it was big getting him because, I think, you know, we needed guys that we're sure can step in right away and play.
I tell you, between the ones we have coming back, the ones we're bringing in like JUCO and so forth, and the freshmen, I mean, I feel like our defensive line, it's kind of a no-name defense this year because all the big names are going to be gone. But, you know, it almost has the feel like of the 89 defense after Tracy Rocker was gone and those guys, you know, Benji Rowland and all and Stallworth were gone, and they were still a really good solid defensive line because they had 5, 6, 7 more guys after them. Again, kind of the no-name defense, but all really good 4-star, you know, tough guys. I feel pretty good about our defensive line going into the fall.
I do too, and we'll do some discussions in the weeks to come where we kind of look at after the second signing day, the February signing day, we'll look at kind of the roster, you know, who's left, who's still there, who redshirted, who transferred, you know, who signed, and then how do we think, and where are we worried or where are we not worried, that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. Right. So the third of the three I wanted to talk about, I believe, is Broderick Jones. And this is the guy that is an offensive lineman that we're competing against Georgia for. And it's one of those things where the fact that we've gotten the competition to where it is now is credit enough. I mean, if we end up not getting him and he goes to Georgia, well, that's really what everybody thought was going to happen from square one. So we really don't lose anything. It's really kind of just kind of a win-win, because if we don't get him, that's unfortunate and it's disappointing. But did we ever really have, you know, that much of a chance to begin with, or was this just kind of dragging it out? On the other hand, we are still in the competition for him, and it's still like 50-50, because, you know, from what I understand, the way it played out, he went and visited Georgia, and they wanted him to shut it down and say, well, I'm done. And he didn't. Well, and you know, you go even back before that. If we go back to signing day back, you know, a few weeks ago, Georgia wanted him to sign and shut it down, and he said, yeah, you know what? I'm not sure I want to go to Georgia yet. I'm not shutting it down. And that really burned Georgia up, because they knew the other team that was in the mix was us. And so he's already, let me put it this way. Georgia has already made two runs at shutting him down, and he's rebuffed them both times. Once on signing day back a few weeks ago, and then again when he made his official visit there a few days ago. So again, we may still lose him. He may still go to Georgia, but man, has he led them a merry chase and made them work for it. On the other hand, Gus went and visited with him the other night in home visit. Gus had one left that he could take, and he took it. And now Jones is going to come and visit Auburn, and we get the closing argument. You know, we get the last word on this. So, how are you feeling about it, if at all?
I mean, again, signing today is Wednesday, January 29th. Mm-hmm. Signing day is a week from today. So you're right in the sense that he comes to Auburn this weekend, and that's it. And then signing day is next Wednesday. So I feel like we got a good shot. I mean, I really think like it's 50-50. I think he would be a huge signee for Auburn just because, you know, offensive tackle out of high school with that level of talent. We haven't signed one in a while. And he could be somebody that could really help at a position of need for years. And I think it's big getting him out of Georgia too. So we'll see. I think, you know, Georgia losing Sam Pittman, you know, who left when the head coach at Arkansas was big. So we'll see.
He's from not too far away. I think the other thing is he knows he could play right away at Auburn. And at Georgia, he's going to be behind a bunch of guys for a while, conceivably.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, in other words, we've done everything we could now. We're getting the last word. We got an in-home visit this week with Gus. We got the last visit. So, I mean, if he ends up going to Georgia at this point, you got to just say, what, you know, you fired all your bullets. You took all your chances. It is what it is. But, man, it would be nice to get him in. It would probably send this recruiting class up to maybe one. I think we went from 8 to 7 with Hardy and then Butler. And I think that might take us to 6, maybe. I don't think we're going to go above that. And those numbers don't mean anything anyway. But it's just nice. You know, you always look for something that's a positive trend and not a negative trend. So that would be nice. So, all right. Well, before we close out any other thoughts here, let me just point out that we do have shirts. If you are a patron, go to patreon.com to our page, to the AU Wishbone Van Plexico White Rocket page. And you can get you can find a link there to our special patron shirts, or if you want just the regular ones, anybody else can go and just go to www.auwishbone.com. I've got a big banner there now underneath the patron sign. There's now like the orange patron button. There's like a big blue button that says T-shirts and hoodies, and there's also mugs and stuff like that. So if you want our merchandise, go to www.auwishbone.com and pick up something cool to help us advertise. We always have to thank our patrons who make all of this gloriousness possible. You guys keep us going. And in fact, it was wanting to make sure that we were serving our patrons as well as our regular listeners that we came on and do this special show on Wednesday night, right? We don't normally do shows on Wednesday night, but we haven't gotten to do a live show in a while. So we like to thank our patrons. If you want to join them and be part of the fun, part of the shenanigans that keeps us on the air, just go to www.auwishbone.com and click on Become a Patron. For as little as $1 a month, you can help. You get all kind of benefits that you can see there, and you help to keep our show going. Here are our current patrons: Matthew Flowers, Samuel Salvatore, Christopher Burleson, and Phil Amthor, along with Gary Grant, Wynn Carroll, Brian Gray, Winston Boddy, Willie Carden, Susan Trawick, Stephen Thompson, Chris Usher, and Steve Trawick. There's Logan Chilton, Tom Anderson, Richard Stevens, William Glenn Matthews, Clinton Stewart, and Christopher Stewart. Hey guys, William Morgan, Phil Davis, John Otsuki, Preston Settle, Daniel Odom, AU Falling Up, Alchemist, Kevin Smith, Jeremy Minton, Johnny Caldwell, Theodore Gary, Reynolds Wolf, Joel Beckham, David Hegler, McAvee, Jacob and Robin Fleming, Joshua Corbett, Ann Kangian, Clay Henson, George Gaston, Will Summerford, Catherine England. Man, these are just old and dear friends to us now. We've met so many of these folks, John, and they're so awesome. Catherine England, John McCune, David Evers, Dan Thompson, Wes Atkinson, Steve Harlan, Rich Reimer, Timothy, Blake Heron, and Stephen Houston. And then we have Cato the Barner, Danny Flack, Papa Todd, Kevin Kenoy, Don Zederman, Ross, Lane Middleton, Shannon Butson, Hugh Anderson, Shane Bailey, Tony Perry, Alex Wynn, Josh Teal, David Simpson, Mick Vigicana, Mike Finley, Wardam Wade, Randall Walker, Russell Milling, Chris Thrash, Earl Rick, Spanky Chris, Jason Albrick, J.W. Rice, Russell Souther, Paul Bankson, Joseph Iliff, Kevin Mahan, Stephen Wyatt, Auburn Elvis, Robert Drain, Brandon Smith, Royce Alvarez. I'm getting close to the end now. Trevor Johnson, David Smiley, Donnie Reynolds, Ivor Evans, John Zavachin, Lawrence Kane, Darren Pyle, Chris Camo, Ben Amos, Ruth, and Darren Sutherland, Patrick Williams, Rob Morgan, Stephen Schuster, James Taylor, Brent Rumble, Justin Bean, And finally, John Stubbs, Kenneth Brent Rains, Nicholas Craig, Joseph A. Miller, Joey Miller, Mark Squire, plus the great Surfer Chickify and our other one-time, occasional, and anonymous donors. We thank all of you. I'm sorry that that was a little more choppy than usual. They've changed the way the website is set up, and it's harder for me to see everybody's names now. It used to be I get like a nice long list with everybody's name spelled out clearly. Now I kind of have to turn my head sideways and click on a bunch of buttons. So that's our current bunch. Just go to www.auwishbone.com to join up. And we've got, of course, the big March Madness thing coming up pretty soon. So anything else of note tonight, John? I know we're doing a shorter show, getting the sucker wrapped up, just kind of checking in. Anything else we want to throw out there or talk about before we close up shop?
I'm going to propose, if we beat Kentucky, we do a video show on Sunday.
Ooh, John throws down the gauntlet. The gauntlet, man. John says, if we beat Kentucky, live Wishbone video coming at you. Live Wishbone video. Sunday afternoon, right?
Yeah.
Sunday afternoon.
Please clap.
I like it. I like it. Now we got extra reason to hope we beat Kentucky, so we can come on the air and cut up with our usual video crew. If you, by the way, folks, if you want to be part of our usual video crew and watch our live show and throw out comments and banners and questions and stuff for us to address on the air, which is a lot of fun, again, www.auwishbone.com has a link to AU Wishbone TV. It's our YouTube channel where you can find our live streams as they go up. I mean, the thing to do is subscribe, notify, all that crap, you know, they always ask you to do on YouTube. And then you'll be all set when our show goes up. I usually tweet something about it. I try to put something on Patreon, but YouTube will let you know with some kind of a notification. Cool?
Sounds good.
All right. So are we done?
We are good, man.
All right.
I'm feeling better.
Thank you. Yeah, I don't want to overdo it. I got 5 classes to teach tomorrow, and then I'm off for a few days, and that's couldn't come at a better time because I need to take a nice long break and recover my vocal cords and stop coughing all the dang time. So with that note, our time is up. We thank you for yours, and we'll see you guys again either Sunday or next week. War Eagle, John.
War Eagle, man.
Thanks for listening to the AU Wishbone. Find links to everything we do at www.auwishbone.com. For more Auburn fun, join us on Twitter at @auwishbone and at facebook.com/auwishbone. War Eagle.
The AU Wishbone is produced by Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer. Copyright 2020.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone podcast.